Well, today is a kind of a bittersweet day for Debbie and I because tomorrow we get in our car for the last time and head out to see our missionaries. I might have to hold on to this today. And it's funny, on Facebook, I've been watching the memories that have come, and the memories that have come up in our Facebook over this last week have all been about leaving Red Cloud about 10 years ago and coming to a place called Chadron, and being willing at that time to leave a dear congregation that Debbie and I dearly love. And Hannah is sending a message to us that said, "Mom and Dad, I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're going to be closer to me," because she was at Frontier at the time. "And we're praying for you and Mom as you move to Chadron." You guys know where Chadron's at? And Debbie and I, remembering this last week, remembering that dear lady back there agreed 30 years ago to go on a journey with me. Scary thought. But when we got married, we there's a verse in Joshua that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It says, "Choose you this day who you will serve." And Debbie and I chose on August 12th, 1989, to say together, "Jesus, we're going to serve you together in marriage and go wherever you want us to go." That's a dangerous prayer because it's been a journey. We went from Stromsburg, Nebraska, to North Platte, Nebraska, to Kansas City, to Elwood, to Wood Lake, to Pierceville, Kansas, Mingo, Kansas, Red Cloud, Nebraska, Chadron, Nebraska. All that in 30 years. And she's still with me. But most of all, Jesus has been with us from the get-go. Has it been an adventure? Absolutely. And I just want to share with you before we get into the Word today how much Debbie and I appreciate you all here in Chadron. One of the reasons we settled in this church particularly is your strength in the Word of God. We knew that leaving a pastorate is not an easy thing. One of the best joys is I've been able to sit with my bride down there. This morning's been kind of deja vu. I felt like a village missionary in ministry again today, because village missionaries quite often do all the stuff that we've been doing today. I told Justin, I don't want this to be a John show today. Please. This needs to be a Jesus show, right? But this is typical. This is typical. Most of our village missionaries do not have a worship team. In Red Cloud, I played piano, organ, directed choir, preached, taught Sunday school, did everything but take the offering. And I was spinning, but God had it. And that's what most of our village missionaries do. They're doing it all, trying to get their congregations equipped so that we work as a team to do it. But our guys and our couples are ready to do it because of a certain reason that I'm going to share with you today. So that you guys can pray. And by the way, we thank God for you. You've been a tremendous security to us in so many ways. And also thank you guys ahead of time for your prayers and support, your financial support for the future. Like I said, tomorrow we go out on our farewell journey with our village missionaries. Some of you may know the district rep role that we've been carrying, what we've been doing. Why we haven't been here so much is because the district rep ministry is to be pastor to the pastors, and we've loved it. We've saw our district, Mountain Central District, seven states, go from 24 10 years ago to 33 now. And there's some changes happening that I'm excited about that are part of the reason we're moving. Tomorrow, we will be leaving on this transition now to take on a new role, to be the assistant director of Village Missions. And what that will mean, as some of you know, we're leaving here to move to Oregon and to continue this process of watching out for pastor couples. I love pastor couples. I love this couple. Let's give them a hand. They're precious, amen?
Amen?
And this little guy, I'm already looking at him thinking maybe future Village missionary. Sorry, Justin, I got my eye on him. But most of all, God does. But our journey has helped us fall in love more with Debbie and more in love with the Lord, but more and more in love with pastor couples. They're rare. And one of my challenges to you all is take care of your precious couple, your precious family. That is what Debbie and I have had the privilege of doing for 10 years, is taking care of precious couples that God has taken and ordained to go to unremembered places all over the middle of the country. Places where there's no Walmart, not even sometimes a gas station, no McDonald's, not even a Runza. But they're put there by God. When I graduated from Bible college, one of the speakers at the time said, "Students, learn to be put where God puts you, and you stay put where God puts you until God unputs you, and then you'll be put where God puts you." And that has been part of my life from that moment. And I want to challenge all of you. Be put. You have all been put in Chadron right now, right? If you look around, where are you at? You're where? Chadron. You are here. It's real. But don't hold on to Chadron too tightly. And I'm speaking from my own experience. I love Chadron very, very, very much. And it is a challenge to let go of Chadron to go to Oregon. But I love Jesus more. And if Jesus says, as he has, John and Debbie, go west. We have a conflict. Do we love Chadron or do we love Jesus? And we've chosen to love Jesus more than Chadron and be willing to go. Missions. What does it say in the Great Commission? Stay. Is that what it says? Jesus said, go into all the world and make what? Disciples. That is what Village Missions, who you guys are supporting, is all about. Going to those little unremembered places all over the place and putting couples that love Jesus and implanting them there and watching what God's going to do through those couples that are turned on to Jesus and are ready to share the gospel with people that are in places that the world would say are hopeless. To bring hope to the hopeless is what we're about. So pray for us as we go to Dallas, Oregon, not the Dalles, but to Dallas, a little town 12 miles from Salem, Oregon, headquarters of Village Missions, that we will embrace what God has for us there. What I will be doing now is supervising all the district representatives. We are increasing the district representative role from six districts to eight Why? Because each district has gotten bigger. We went from 24 to 33 in these 10 years. Also, our districts have gotten younger. And you guys have been part of that. You know, all those young couples that we've brought through this church in these last 10 years that you guys have helped us love on and care for, most of them from Frontier School of the Bible, those folks are out there now ministering. And our district is going younger, 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 younger. How old are you, Justin?
30.
You're not as young as some of our missionaries. And they're getting younger and younger and younger. This is when what we've been wanting to do is pass the torch on to the younger generation. And it's been fun. But in the process of passing the torch on to the younger generation, something's happened to me. I've gotten older. No. But that's all right. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He gives us strength. But it's been so much fun to pass this torch on to the younger generation and watch them with their energy love Jesus and go for it where they're put. And so as Village Missions has been blessed to increase with youthfulness, we in our leadership capacities are blessed to be able to be their coaches, to be their cheerleaders, to be able to go up to people like Justin and say, good job! We're there for you. Preach the word, brother. Love the people. Love your family. Enjoy Jesus. And that's what we love to do. But because of the expansion, somebody has to go to Dallas and encourage the encouragers. These district representatives we have, about our age, they're getting tired too. Some of you have been worried about Debbie and I. You come back and we look tired. I looked at a picture of Debbie and I from 10 years ago and I was like, oh, she's still pretty. But I've got grayer. But part of our job will be to stand behind those encouragers of the missionaries and say, district representatives, you're doing a good job. You're traveling all over the place and we're there for you. So I will be cheerleading those that are taking on the roles that we've had. And one of the things that I've had the joy of doing is encouraging Village Missions to add new district reps and to shrink the districts. And so I will be able to watch that goal happen. And then another part of what our ministry will be is the colleges. As you know, in the last 10 years, we have spent a lot of time with Frontier School of the Bible and started what we call the Elijah Project Initiative, where we work with those college students, develop curriculum for them, and then put them into internships. I will be directly supervising that for the whole nation. And we're developing this also with Calvary University, an accredited place, so that the missionaries that we get will be better prepared to do the work. And it's something that I am really excited about. So pray for us as we supervise these missionaries that come through us. I just did an internship orientation with a couple up in Rapid City yesterday. I am excited. Are you guys excited about the next generation taking the reins? Let's give the next generation a hand. I am really stoked about these young folks that love Jesus. I am concerned about the kind of world we're giving them. But yet I know who's on the throne in their life. And His name is Jesus. And the Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that's a little bit of so that you guys can pray for Debbie and I. Pray for the sale of our house here. Pray for the sale for buying a house in Oregon. Neither one of those things has happened yet. So you'll say, are you homeless? Not really, because we're going to go live in a little apartment out in Oregon. At our real house, our car, we're still going to be in that for a while. So pray for that. But now, that's the update on us. But now, I want to turn our hearts toward what I really am here for this morning. And that's to hear from God, from His Word. So let's pray and talk to the Lord. Father God, we thank You for who You are. Thank You for this church. They are our brothers and sisters here in Chadron, and we love them. And we've had the privilege of spending quite a bit of time, not as much as we want, but quite a bit of time with them in the last 10 years. And as our sending, our commissioning, our supporting church here at home continue to bless them. And as I share the word today, may it not be my words, but your words that we listen to and that we are able to take from this text what you want us to take into our daily life as we leave here to go into our mission field in Chadron, Nebraska. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What I want to talk to you about today is three reasons why we do what we do. And the reason that this message came about, and by the way, this is the message that the Lord has given me to share with all of my churches as we're leaving them, and will also be the hallmark of what we're going to be doing for the next 10 years, 10 to 12 years is kind of what we're looking at, Lord willing. It could be shorter. I mean, if the Lord comes back tomorrow, that's fine with me. But this is kind of so that you kind of know what the message that we're going to be declaring is, and this is it. We're going to be sharing with our churches why you do what you do. So this message started primarily because out of a need. About 2 years ago now, I think, Debbie and I found out that we were spinning. And I was getting grouchy. How many of you have ever been grouchy? Good, I'm glad I'm not the only one. And I was getting busier. And I was not very nice sometimes to my family and people that were dear to me. And hopefully I think I was nice to the missionaries. I don't know. But I found myself becoming a cynical, old DR, district representative. And I didn't want to admit it. So I went out to California and saw Hannah. And Hannah said, "Daddy, you're not the same dad that I knew and loved." And I said, "Yes, I am." And I said, and she said, "No, you're not." And I had this wake-up call that I wasn't just really living the fruit of the Spirit very well. The joy, the peace, the self-control, the kindness, all these things we've been studying, was really waning in my life. I was doing the work, but probably for the wrong reason. So I went to the leadership of Village Missions and shared that, and they said, "Well, you need some biblical counseling." And they sent us to Peace Haven, which is part of Village Missions, in Camino Island, Washington, and we sat down with a pastoral counselor, and he says, "John and Debbie, why are you doing what you're doing? Let's look at your job description. You're adding on little thing that I ended up calling barnacles that were, when we first arrived at Chadron, I was happy-go-lucky. It was great. I was a lot more involved in the church here and a lot of this kind of stuff. I think I had my right reasoning in those days. But I got so busy building my kingdom that I forgot who was really king. Now, I knew it theologically, but practically not. And so things kept building and building and building. And that, again, is one of the reasons why I went back to the leadership of Village Missions, and they said, "We're going to change things. We're going to change things for you and Debbie, and we're going to change things for all the district representatives, and we're going to change things for the missionaries. We're going to start caring more in reality for our people." Village Missions, see if you got this, slogan is, "Preach the what? Good. And love the people." In the leadership of Village Missions in my life, I did a lot of preach the word, but not as much love the people. That's, if the love is missing, I don't care how much you preach it, you're not really doing the work of ministry. For God so preached the word. For God so loved the world. Now, he did preach the word. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he gave that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has always been about preaching the word through speech and action. But why did God preach the word and love the people? Because of who he is and because he loves us. Each one of you this morning, did you know you're loved? You are loved with an eternal love from God. Let that sink in a moment. You're loved. You're loved. I'm loved. Wow. By God who made you. He loved you in spite of warts, in spite of the turmoil you might be in. And every day you need to wake up and say, I am loved by eternal God. So, I talked to the leadership of Village Missions. Then I came home and to Chadron. And I talked to some of my pastor friends here in Chadron and told them about what's going on and that we were rewriting the district representative job description. And so I shared this. And one of the pastors said, John, your job description's fine, but you're missing one thing. And I said, what's that? You don't say why you're doing what you're doing. So why do you travel 22,000 miles a year? Why do you sleep in, how many beds do we sleep in? 33 beds, at least, a year. At different times, have deers hit your car, eat in all these different places, don't get to really be involved in your local church. Why do you do this? And I said, oh, that's easy. Let me tell you. So then I started listing off the things we do. And he says, stop it. You didn't answer the question, John. I'm like, I didn't. You told me what you do, but you didn't tell me why you do it. So I dove into the Word to Hebrews chapter 10, and that's where I want you to look this morning with me in the moments we have. And I want to share with you the challenge of three reasons we do what we do. Three why answers. And I want you to apply, not just see this is why Debbie and I do what we do as your Village missionaries, but you all as brothers and sisters in Christ here at Chadron Berean. And if you go to other churches, if you're other believers in town, that's fine. But I want this not to be just what we're applying to our life, but all of us. Why do we come here on Sunday morning? Because everybody else does? Because we just do it. Why do we sing our worship songs? We just do it. Why do we have Sunday school? We just do it. Justin, why do you preach? Because you just do it. It's your job. Why are we married? We just, because. Why do we go to work tomorrow in our jobs out there? Just because. Man, if that's the case, we're pitiful. How many of you guys ever feel like you're a hamster on this wheel going round and round and round and round? And I want to encourage you that for the believer, there's far more than hamsterhood for us. The joy of the Lord. And there is in the Word the reason, there's three reasons why we should every day get excited and say, hallelujah! I get to do what I get to do. And when I studied this text, I got my attitude changed. And I'm like, hallelujah, I get to get in the car tomorrow. And this last few weeks, it's been hard for me to say, hallelujah, I get to pack our boxes and actually watch Debbie work incredibly hard like she always does. But these why questions have helped me have an attitude adjustment. So that's what I want to share with you today. With the hope that when you leave here, as fellow believers here in Chadron, we're like, wow, I get it. It's exciting to be able to be on this life here and now. All right? So, in Hebrews chapter 10, we have three divisions. And again, we don't have time to do a total exposition of this whole text, but I want us to look at it. In Hebrews chapter 10, you have three divisions. In the first section, verses 1 through 17, we have the first reason for why we do what we do. And see if I can get this to click right. There we go. The first reason we do what we do is, can you read it with me? Heaven is awesome. Now, I'm going to come down here. Is this all right? The school teacher's coming out of me. Why, and we've been studying with Justin, why has heaven awesome? Somebody, shout out.
The Lord's there.
You're reading my notes. Hold on to that thing. The Lord is there. What are other reasons that people think are looking forward to heaven?
No pain.
No pain. Okay, hold on to that one. What else?
Eternity.
Eternity.
Loved ones there.
Maybe animals. Streets of gold. All these kind of things. Never getting old. All those kind of things. And I want to submit to you that with all those creature comforts that we're going to have up there, those creature comforts are not the reason. The gold, the no sickness, the family, all those are not the reason why heaven is awesome. Mark gave us the reason why heaven is awesome. The reason heaven is awesome is not the stuff of heaven. The reason heaven is awesome is the person of heaven, and his name is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice I've pictured there Jesus, I've tried to picture there on the picture a throne. Jesus is on the throne. Now, Justin's been talking to us in Galatians about the law. And the law was set up in the Old Testament for the purpose of showing a better life is coming. The law was never meant to save anybody, right? It was to show people the need and to point to whom? To Jesus. And in the first part of chapter 10, you have this whole picture of the law and what was going on and the whole Levitical things of Judaism and all that that was going on. And they were working and working and working and working. And look with me at verse 11. It says here, every priest stands day after day ministering and offering the same sacrifices time after time, which can never take away sins. Whoa, sounds like a hamster cage to me. You had in the Old Testament all of these priests killing a lamb, day after day after day after day after day after day. It was a religion, right? But its purpose was not to save people, but was to point to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the people got caught up into this doing. And we see it today. Churches full of doing. Works. Me, doing the work. Religion. If you're caught up into religion won't save you. A relationship with Christ will save you. And we see that in verse 12. In verse 11, you have all this doing. And verse 12, what's the first word of verse 12? But. And whenever you see but in Scripture, underline it and say, okay, what's it there for? You have a sudden change, a complete change here, a paradigm shift. So you got the judicial system going on, and then all of a sudden you see this, but this man, Jesus, but this man, after offering how many sacrifices? One sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Wow. That's what we celebrate with Jesus' death and resurrection. He ascended to heaven, and that's where he's at right now. And when you put your faith, and this whole text up to this point talks about that, and after this down to verse through verse 17 and 18, talks about who we are in Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're admitting you're a sinner, and you accept the fact that He's the Lord, that He's God, and He's covered, He's taken care of your sins by Himself, and He's on the throne, and you accept Him. That's what salvation is. Not by our works, but accepting His work, right? We're clear there. So, we accept Him, and then we're saved forever. Amen? And if you haven't accepted Christ, that's the way of salvation. Accept Him, and you're saved. And you honor Him being on the throne. So if you're saved this morning, say, hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's who you are in Christ. So, okay, oh happy day, I'm saved. This is great. Jesus is on the throne. He's been on the throne ever since He ascended to heaven. Woo! Happy day. But there's a problem. I accept Christ when I was 4. I'm 60 now. And I'm still here. I'm not in heaven yet. God, what's the problem? I want to go there. How many of you want to go to heaven? We should, because of Him. I want to go and be with Him. Yes, I want to see my dad and my mom. And I want to see the pastor that was faithful in a little church in Washington that led my dad to Christ. I want to see that, all of that, and have my pearly gates and all that stuff. But most of all, I want to go and be with my Jesus. That Blessed Assurance song. This is my story. This is my... I hope you know that the story that I want you to think of when you think of me is that I want to live for Jesus, period. This is my story. This is to sing for my Jesus. And someday I want to see Him, and I will see Him. Oh, that it were today. But God is not. I'm stuck on this earth. I want to... Do you ever feel like it? You want to make the rapture happen now? But we can't do it. He's left us here. And I have a real problem with it sometimes. I want to get there. So, first reason... we do what we do is Jesus is God at all. Jesus is sovereign. He's Lord. He's on the throne. Every day wake up about that. So second reason we do what we do is found later on in this text in verses 26 through 27. The opposite of heaven is hell. And hell is real. It is a real place where those that everyone that doesn't accept Jesus will be there. We know that in the Word, right? I was headed to hell until at the age of 4 I accepted Jesus. And then the repentance was I changed directions. And I'm headed to heaven now. There are friends, there are people all around us, family members that are headed in the wrong direction. And look what it says here, starting... here in verse 26. For if we deliberately go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. What's it talking about here in the context? It's talking about, you know, that sacrificial system of killing the lambs and all that, that's not in effect anymore. There's only one way of salvation. And what is that? Through Jesus only. And if people don't accept Him, they're lost. And then verse 27. but a terrifying expectation of judgment and of the fury of a fire about to consume the adversaries. Fire, hell. It's talking here that there's people in religion that are working at religion, working, and the Bible says here that if they rejected Christ, they're going to end up where? In hell. Very clear. So there's people all around us on this planet that are going to hell. Do we care about them? Or are we so selfish as believers that, I'm good, I'm going to heaven. I don't care about my neighbors. I don't care about my family. Let them fend for themselves. I'm going to go to glory. Woo! What does Jesus say? I've left you here because of them. Justin read today about missions and said that in missions, that the missionary that you read about was thankful for that person that came to tell them about Jesus and the person that gave the financial support so that they would go and tell them about Jesus. God left us here to love those unsaved people. And so many times, we as believers are so selfish with the gospel, with who we are in Christ, that we keep Jesus to ourselves. We keep the plan of salvation to ourselves. And we come into our holy huddles and you say, oh, here's John stepping on our toes. Well, I'm stepping on my own too. We stay in our little church huddle and we come and sing our little praise songs to Jesus. Yay, you're on the throne. Blessed assurance, you're mine, all that kind of stuff. And then when we leave here, our neighbors that are and family and whatever, our work cohorts that are going to hell, they don't know our Jesus because we keep him to ourselves. Is Jesus the way? Do we love him? Are we ashamed of him? Ouch. Do we love our neighbor? The great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord your God, but what? Love your neighbor. Love like God does, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And what I'm saying here is we are left here because Jesus went up there and it saved us so that we would be here to love those that are going to hell like we were. That's why you and I are still here after we accept Jesus. We have been left here to represent Christ. And that brings me to the third main thing. The third reason we do what we do is heaven's awesome. Jesus is there. He's on the throne. He's got all of the messes that we're in. He's got the whole world in his hand. Our people around us that aren't saved, they're going to hell. And we have a job to do. The church, my friends, is the bridge between heaven and hell. And I'm talking not about necessarily just one, like Shadrach and Berean. I'm talking about all believers together make one great, big, wonderful bridge. And what's interesting in the text here is where do we find this in the text? In the middle of this passage. At the beginning you see heaven and Jesus. At the end you see hell and the lost folks. In the middle, starting with verse 19, you see the church. Look at this. Verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, and anytime the text says brothers and sisters, it's referring to believers. Therefore, brothers and sisters, what's he referring to? Therefore, because Christ is on the throne, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus. We don't have to go through the sacrifices of those little lambs anymore. We have access. We can go talk to Jesus anytime. My friends, your prayer life isn't just on Tuesday night, which is important. It's every moment of our life. We can talk to Jesus about everything, and we should. And you don't have to get on your knees or fold your hands or anything like that. Just talk to Jesus. Just talk. Talk, 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 all the time. Through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain. Remember, the curtain of religion was torn in half when he died, right? Curtain that is through his flesh, through Christ. And since we have this great high priest over the house of God, we have now, my friends, three things that should be what we focus on as a church. Now, before I get into what we as a church need to do in order to be a good bridge, I want to talk about something. Remember January, February? It was cold here, right? I was stuck in L.A. because of this thing called a blizzard that came through here. How many of you remember the blizzard? And you had this, all of Nebraska, the bridges were wet. Wiped out. And I tried to get home. The DIA wouldn't let me in. So we were stuck in L.A. suffering for Jesus. I went to the beach while you guys were freezing and all that kind of stuff. Well, I get back here and I go to Arcadia, Nebraska. How many of you know where Arcadia, Nebraska is? And I visit our village missionary there. And he says, John, all of our bridges were washed out. Our bridges so that we could get from one side to the other were washed out. And I want to take you to see a bridge. And we're driving along. And we're coming around the corner. He'd show me one bridge that was totally gone. And then he showed me, he said, we're going to go over that bridge. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then he says these words, that bridge was compromised by the big snowstorm flood. I'm like, ha, 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 ha. We're going over that bridge to get to the other side. He says, compromised. Oh no, I don't think I like that idea. Well, the bridge had been revitalized. Its pylons had been brought back to where they should be. I want to submit to you the metaphor of the bridge here in this text between the heaven and the hell picture that we've seen. We have in here, in this little section, the pylon of the church that he's talking to here. And there are three things here that the church needs to have as a focus. I want to submit to you that one of the purposes of Village Missions is to come alongside churches that have had their pylons compromised. Village Missions is in the ministry of not church planting, of starting new churches. That's a good ministry. But our ministry is church revitalization. To come into churches that are there, but have one way or another been compromised and are not as effective in bringing people from heaven to hell. And in this text, there are three S's that I want to share with you are the focus of Village Missions, and I should be the focus of this church here, as you want to be a bridge. Do you guys want people that when they think of Shadron Berean, they think, oh, that's a place that I can go, and I can learn, and I can have a relationship with God through those wonderful people at Shadron Berean? Do you want to be that way? Should we be known that way? Should we be known as a place where people can come here and learn about Jesus and be cared for and be safe here? All right, let's look at the text here and we'll find out what's really said here. I want you also to look, you'll understand where these things are in the text by underlining every time it says, let us. Okay? Let us. So let's look at the let us's in this passage. The first thing that every church should do, you'll find it here, it says, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. What do you think the number one message of our church should be that starts with S? Salvation. My dear friends, let this church always preach a clear gospel. And I'll share that with all my village missionaries. Make sure you're clear that through faith alone in Christ alone, we are saved. Amen? Not by works of righteousness that we do, but by Christ alone. And preach it, preach it. Justin, preach it. And you ask me all the time, how's Village Missions doing? Are we preaching the clear-cut gospel? Don't ever compromise that. There's the temptation today is to compromise that. But it says here, because of Christ being on the throne, preach clear-cut salvation. That's the first thing. The second S comes after that, verse 23. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who has promised is faithful. The second thing, my friends, as a church, we need to be a group of people that are secure. We should be so secure in our relationship with God that anything that gets thrown at us doesn't cause us to roll on the ground and fall flat. Are you secure in Jesus? That, and I hope it doesn't happen, say this building burns down. Say we get some kind of a declaration that we have cancer. Say economic stresses come. Say we get tired. Say the mission says you're moving. You know, you think about your week. How secure are you and me? Then you bring that to the church. How secure, my friends, is it for people to come into this church? And I'll use Justin for an example. For Justin to come up to me and say, John, how are you? And all I say is, I'm fine. When inside, I'm a mess. We need to be a church where we're so secure in Christ that we can be totally honest with each other. And I should be able to say to Justin, even though whether he's my pastor or not, I should be able to say, Justin, I've got issues going on in my life. Pray for me. We should know each other that well that anybody off the street can come in here and we'll say to them, how are you? And they should be able to say, you know, I need a lunch. I'm facing divorce. I'm facing issues. And rather than us condemn them, we preach the word and what? Love them. And we are secure enough in our salvation that we become a hospital for hurting people. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I have hurts in my life? All of us do, if we're honest. Should we be able to share those hurts with each other in the body? Yes. A true bridge of Christ will be a salvation-preaching church and a secure church where people can be honest with one another without fear of being condemned and stepped on by fellow saints. We want that, right? We see that in the text. But that's not, those two things are quite often talked about in churches. I want to talk to you about the third S, which comes next. And it says in verse 24, and this is the part where we as churches don't want to go there. It says, and let us watch out for one another. Uh-oh. You mean I have to watch out for Justin? And Justin watch out for me? And what does it say? Watch out for one another to what? Provoke. To provoke what? Love. To provoke love and good works. We should be encouraging one another to really know how to love Christ's likeness. We need to be able to say, you know, you're hurting, brother. Let me come alongside you and encourage you. If you've got an issue, I want to help you with it. We need to provoke one another. We need to say, follow the Lord even more in your life. We need to provoke one another to good works. And here it comes. Why we meet together on Sunday morning? Not neglecting to get together. We are all in this world to what? Together, right? So why do we get together on Sunday morning? Yes, to remember Jesus, but we get together to provoke one another to love and good works, right? Through the Word. So many times people say, well, I don't need the church. We need the church because we are the church. We are the body. We need each other. And we're having a holy assembly this morning, but it isn't just Sunday morning that we get together as the body of Christ. One of the things that I really enjoy about some of our village missions fields being in little towns is in a lot of our little towns, we see each other on the streets. And I remember Red Cloud, I couldn't get anything done outside because the people, I'd be putting my Christmas lights up and the people would come by and say, John, can I talk to you about their needs? So I'd come down the ladder, talk to them, and climb the ladder, and then somebody else would come and want to talk to me. And that's the life. I want to challenge all of us to ask ourselves, in our church, what kind of community life do we have? Do we pray for each other when we see each other on the streets of Shadron? Do we really care enough to be there when someone's hurting? Not just at the hospital, but at work. Are we really the body, or are we just a body on Sunday morning? We provoke one another to good works, not neglecting to come together on Sunday morning, but not neglecting to come together all week long, as some are in the habit of doing. But here it comes. As we face this world, this next part is so important, but encouraging each other. You get encouraged through the Word, but you should also be able to be and be encouraged by one another in this room today. That when I see Justin, and by the way, this happens, Pastor, when I see you, you encourage me all the time. That when we see each other, we should say, oh, it's so good to see Judy, because she lightens my faith, she lightens me up because we talk about Jesus. There's an old hymn called No, Never Alone. And it tells us that Jesus is with us all the time. But it isn't just Jesus who's with us. But when we see other believers, it should be, wow, I am here with all of you. When I see you, wow, I'm on this planet with. And someday I will be in heaven with. And that should be our encouragement. Encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the return of who? Do we believe that Jesus is coming back in reality? He's going to leave that throne and come back and get us. Whew! Do we look forward to that? Shadron, my friends, is not my home. But neither is Dallas, Oregon. My home, and yours if you're a believer, is heaven. And we're going there. And he's going to come back and get us. But until then, let us preach salvation. Let us be secure in our salvation. And let us encourage one another to be the church so that those people around us that are looking for the answer find the answer in us. We are the gospel presentation to Shadron, Nebraska. Amen? As are all believers. So don't let the message of salvation, security, and sanctification get muddled down by insignificant, incidental things that so often destroy the testimony of a church. And that's the message that I will be giving all of our VM churches. Preach salvation. Preach security in a hopeless world. And preach the fact that God's not done changing us yet. There was a little slogan that was shared years ago that said this: please be patient, God isn't finished with me yet. If I can say this, we do not have a perfect pastor. Justin, you do not have a perfect church. But we have a perfect Savior. Amen? And Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you, he will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And I want to conclude with this. At the end of this chapter, it says, you can look at starting with verse 32, and I won't read it all, but it says, so Christian Bridge, remember, you've been through the mill. One of the things, as becoming an assistant director, I'm going to remember how God was faithful to Debbie and I over these 10 years. And I came into the DR role remembering that God was faithful when we were pastoring. God has always been faithful, right? And he always will be faithful. And as I enter this new role, I can depend on the fact that he's going to be faithful and he's going to finish this work and it's going to be great. So remember, it says here, even though you know you've been through trials, then it jumps down to verse 37, and it says, for yet a little while the coming one will come and not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. But look at the last verse of this chapter, and this is what I want to close with. But we are not those who draw back. Why? Because Jesus is on the throne. Hell is horrible, and we're not going there, but we want to bring people from there. And we know where we're going. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed. But here's who we are, if you're a believer. But we are those who have faith in Christ, and we are eternally saved. Amen? So that's why we do what we do. Heaven is awesome because Christ is there. Hell is horrible, and there's people going there, and we have been left as a bridge. So, with that in mind, big question is asked to you and me as believers. And again, if you're not a believer, this morning I trust that you put your faith in Christ. But this last statement is to us as believers. What kind of bridge are we? This is the message I give to our Village Missionary Serve churches. What kind of bridge are we? Are we solid in what really matters? Are we solid in salvation? Are we solid in security in Christ? And are we solid that we can live together with all our warts and differences and everything together, knowing that Christ is sanctifying each one of us? And he is going to finish his work. And the world can walk through you and me to Jesus, get saved, and join this band of Christian soldiers. And we march to heaven. And what a day of rejoicing it will be. So I leave you with this, my dear friends. Let's be the bridge that represents Jesus, knowing that he was the bridge that saved us and has left us to be his representative so that the world will know that the hope comes through accepting Christ alone. And that is the hope that we give to this world, period. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for who you are. Help us to keep our focus, knowing that you're working on us and you love us. Help us to love you and in turn love each other, knowing that we have a mission to do, and it's all because of you, and that we will march on with joy and so